Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get going. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us. Lord, we wouldn't have any idea what it means to love if it wasn't for you showing us that. So God, I'm grateful for that. Tonight, Lord, I pray that you just speak to our hearts. Use me to minister your word to your people. Bless the ones that are at home watching through YouTube. God, we thank you for this ability that we're able to have. And so God, I pray that being at home, you would just remove the distractions from them so they can focus upon your word right now. We ask it in your name. Amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 tonight. We're going to be dealing with some false teachings that go on in our world. In the last few months, they've really come to light on a lot of things. I'm going to share that with you tonight. But let's read verse number 1. We'll read down to verse number 3. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There's a reason why Paul says this. Let's follow it up in verse number 3. Says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. If you're good, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse number 15. While you're looking for that, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 John, chapter number 4. And then when you're able to find that, put your other finger. God gave you 8 of them. You got 2 thumbs. And find 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. So we'll begin in Matthew 7, verse number 15. It says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, meaning they looked apart. They look like just you and I. You might not be able to tell them any differently. Goes on, it says, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, meaning they're in there for a purpose. They're looking at their prey. They're wanting to see the weak one that they can point out and begin to take that weak one. What do you mean a weak one? I'm talking about a weak believer. Perhaps a new believer that's not strong in their faith just yet. So they come in and they begin to look and they begin to eye the very ones that they want to take down. So beware of false prophets which come to you sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. 1 John 4, verse number 1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That is telling us, even back then, true to this day, there are many, if not hundreds or thousands of false prophets, false teachers, that are out there. By the way, if there are preachers that are out there, teachers that are out there preaching for their own financial gain and not for the gain of souls in heaven, you might say that they're a false prophet. I would say that. Let's go on to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, but there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So with these verses that are being read, we can say that the warning for false prophets, the warning for false teachers, should be taken very seriously, even in our time, in our day, because they are out there and they're wanting to come inside the church and begin to break folks away from the house of God. And how would they do that? They would begin to entice them with a little bit of truth, and once that gets settled in, they have them and then begin to pervert their teachings upon them. So we need to be careful in these areas, which, by the way, when pastor has somebody to come in fill the pulpits, he's very careful on who he has come in. Because the last thing that he wants is somebody to come up here and begin to teach us falsely, meaning going against God's word. And that happens on occasions. It's sad that it happens, but it does. Today, we have certainly seen many false prophets and teachers. Just recently, and I mean just recently, they have made their way onto the election scene. And I will begin to explain this later, some things that I have become aware of that I was not aware of. And I have just recently discovered these things. One of these things, that it's a so-called Christian station. You might have heard of this, but I have just recently learned of this. And this news organization, or you want to call it a Christian news station, whatever you want to call it, it's called Flashpoint. Let me just tell you, stay away. I encourage you not to even be tempted to look upon what they're teaching, because what they have taught has been some false things that have come out of their mouths. And they use scriptures, but then they begin to twist the words of God to have it say what they want it to say. So we need to be careful of those things. And I'll explain that later as we go on. This network specifically deals with men and women who claim to be prophets. And they're all over the scene there. With that being said, they have led millions astray. They've led them astray. How do they lead them astray? Well, first of all, they feed them false information and giving the people that follow them false hope. Need to be careful in these areas. What they have done was they tickled the very ears of these people, letting them hear the things that they want to hear. So I caution you, please be careful when you stumble upon these things, even if it's through television or if it's through the internet. However you come across those things, let me encourage you to use your spiritual discernment that God has given you to mark them and to avoid them, because they can cause damage in your life, and I would hate to see that take place. First, let's deal with the ones who teach about prosperity gospel. That is a big one that's upon the scene. Basically, you name it, you claim it. That's what a lot of them believe. Just recently, in the past year, we have had one of the biggest prosperity gospel preachers come out, and he began to condemn his very teachings that made him very wealthy. I'm talking a very wealthy man. So wealthy, I've heard that his stitching in his clothes were made out of gold. That's how wealthy he is. So after he took a stand on going against what he taught for many years, it didn't take long, but maybe a week or so, for him to revert back to his same teaching because of the pressure that he was under. And so he went right back to it. And so we have this prosperity gospel that is going out there. Let me give you a definition of what this is. This is a religious belief that financial blessings and physical well-being are always the will of God. If you have positive speech and you have donations that go to their religious causes, here's what they say will take place. This will increase one's material wealth. Meaning they're putting their hope in man and they're wanting earthly riches rather than heavenly riches. I've said this on many different occasions as I stand before you. I am accountable to God. I cannot take none of my personal possessions with me, not a single one of them. Matter of fact, the very clothes that I'm wearing right now, if God was to come back, they're here. I'm up in the air. How he clothes me up there between here and there, that's up to him. I just know it's going to take place. But this is the type of the gospel that they're trying to teach here for their gain. It's not about material. It's about what you gain spiritually in heaven. So I can't take the very clothes on my back, but what I can do and what I can take are souls with me. That's important for us to understand. That's called bearing fruit. By the way, let me say this. I heard this week, and this just astounded me. You cannot bear fruit unless you have a root. Man, I'm 45 years old, and I never heard that statement before, and that just really grabbed me. Like, wow. That just made a whole lot of sense to me. I know I'm a slow learner, but that just baffled me with that statement. Religious donations, the only ones that are gaining financially are those very organizations that are wanting your money. We've all seen those television commercials. send us $20 and we'll send you some holy water. Where they're not telling you the holy water that they're getting from is from the fountain down in the basement. Or they'll say, send us another $20 and with this holy water, you're going to get this napkin. Well, I can go to the store and buy some napkins that will last me probably 6 months for $20. They're called disposable napkins. I can do those things. So they're gaining financially off of these folks. Without a doubt, there are some wealthy believers. But to be wealthy by swindling money from people is very dishonest. And that's what they're doing. They're being dishonest about what they're doing. They're not telling the truth. We need to be cautious of these things. What most people don't realize is how wealthy these false teachers and these false preachers really are. I will not name names. I don't need to name names tonight because I believe we all know who they are. Some have their own private jets. Does anybody have a private jet in here tonight? I couldn't even afford one with the Tonka toys. Some have mansions worth millions of dollars. By the way, I've never heard these millionaire false teachers, false prophets, helping out the needy. They're always asking money for themselves. I've never heard them say, well, I'm going to distribute this money to this group of folks who are down and out and are in need of help. I never hear those things. They also have their own fleet of cars. And I'm going to say this because this is important. And many are addicted to Botox and plastic surgeries. By the way, I will drop a name right now. You would never know that Joyce Myers is almost 80 years old. You see what money can buy you? A lot of plastic. That's what it can buy you. Apparently, and this is my statement because I struggle with this, apparently they don't like how God created them. They're not satisfied with the looks that God gave them. And they want to change his very creation by changing their looks and their appearances. And I know some might not agree. That's fine. That's just my conviction. I go to the gym, and every time I go to the gym, I'm thinking to myself, why am I doing this? Am I not satisfied with how God created me? Because he did speak me into existence. Am I trying to change his creation? I know that sounds silly, but that's what I think on many different occasions. But that is exactly, I believe, what they are saying. This is very real, and this is very serious. And many are being persuaded through this prosperity gospel that they are preaching. And I will say this, God blesses his people. There are wealthy believers out there. Matter of fact, I'm one of them. Really? Yeah, I'm his son. I'm wealthy beyond all means. I have no need of food. Why? Because he provides. I have no need of money tonight. Why? Because he provides. I have no need of a vehicle tonight. Why? Because he provides. Yes, I'm wealthy in those areas. I have no need of a home because he has given me a home. I am very wealthy tonight. And if you're a believer, amen, so are you. Because you have what I have. So let's move along. Moving along, let's deal with the ones who teach about faith healing. This one really gets me going. It does. By the way, their method and ideology is not from the scriptures. They have taken scriptures again and they have twisted it. Thousands will attend their services for a chance for the false teachers to lay their hands upon them. How would you like it tonight if you're struggling with a foot injury or a back injury or whatever, and you wanted to come forward tonight and be relieved of your pain that's in your body, and you come forward and I bop you in the head as hard as I could? Yeah, without a doubt you're forgetting about your back pain. You're going to forget about your foot pain because now you have a throbbing headache from the moron who just hit you in the head. I'm sorry, I should have said a moron. But that's what takes place. They lay hands. Little do they know what takes place in these type of healing services. Where they get their information from these people that attend these things. Who are they? And what are they struggling with? This all comes about from people just like you and me that intermixes themselves with the crowd. And then they go back and they begin to tell the evangelist or the evangelist staff of who this person is, where they live, how many kids they have, and what type of ailment they have. And that's fed through the microphone of the preacher. And once he begins to say that, all of a sudden they're just in awe. He's talking about me. And what do? They climb up out of their seat with excitement. They walk on the stage. And then they get thumped in the head. That's what takes place. This isn't faith healing. It's false teaching. Let me ask you a question. If these faith healers are so good at their jobs, then why don't they go down to a local hospital and begin to lay the hands upon the people who are sitting there dying of their sickness? I've yet to see that take place. It's always upon their stage. It's not in these places where people are deathly sick. Why don't they go in there and begin to pray over them? It doesn't take place. And the reason why they don't is because they can't. But I do know of one who can, and he is called the great physician. The Lord God can do those things. But in the meantime, as they continue to go about their life doing these things, what happens? People bring in money. They give it to them, and they become very wealthy. I'm going to encourage you, look some of these people up, and you'll see the tremendous amount of wealth that they have. It'll scare you a little bit. Many of God's people will flock to the things of this nature, which is why we are to try the spirits. For they are not of God. Yes, God gave the disciples to heal men. But understand, it was a gift given to them by God. I want you to understand something. As God gave them this gift to do these things, notice in Scripture that these men did not become rich off of what they were able to do. They were humble men being used by God. Does God still use man for healing? Yes. But not like he did back then. Explain yourself, I will. I believe that that ended when the disciples were all called to heaven. But what is being done today is wonderful as well. God has given us people in the medical field to be able to help men and women who are struggling physically. And God has given them great knowledge. And God has given him great wisdom on how to treat people. And he's done those things. But unfortunately, they're not always successful with those medicines that are prescribed, the treatments that are given to them to help heal their bodies. That's not always successful because some will go out into eternity. But let me be clear on something. Nobody in this room or in the hospitals is on borrowed time. We are all on God's time. Plain and simple. We are on God's time. As I was talking to Dave a few weeks ago, we began to talk about death. We began to talk about heaven, what he's got to look forward to. And he says, I just don't know how much time I have. And I said, I believe not in these exact words, you're on God's time. That's all that matters. You're on God's time. And that's exciting. And when that kind of time has come to expire, it's because it's our time on earth is finished. Our race is over. I heard my daughter pray tonight, and she mentioned these words. I don't know if I'm going to get it just right. She said something about, to this nature, she's praying for the country, and I'm sorry, Jalen, I'm not trying to embarrass you in any way, shape, or form. But she said in these words, God, help us to overcome the things in this race that you have allowed us to be in. Something like in those words. One of these days, our race is going to be over. We don't know when that time is. Faith healers don't know when that time is, but God is. What's that all mean? Meaning it was his will and is his will to call that person home. Well, let's move on from the prosperity gospel. Let's move on from the faith healers. So let's go on to a different direction. And I'm going to be honest with you. I had no idea it was this big. What I am speaking of is prophets who are telling us what is going to happen in the future. And I mentioned just a little while ago with this flashpoint that I was trying to get out here. And they're trying to tell us of the things that are going to happen. By the way, I don't need no prophets because I have the Word of God. That's where I get my education from. He tells me what's going to happen. All I got to do is look in the book. These prophets, they get some things mixed up, for sure. This recently has become more popular than ever before. And I know personally of folks who are involved in this area. You have no idea who they are. And I know some personally who actually teach and believe these things. As I alluded to this earlier, just recently I was sent a video to watch about what is going to happen about the outcome of the election. And then specifically what is going to happen on the outcome of the 6th of January. Little did I know how huge this was. Before I even began to watch this video, I tuned in to my friend's podcast who had sent this to me. He's a so-called preacher, lives by the Word of God. So I began to listen to him preach one afternoon a few weeks ago. I will say this. First of all, his message was dead on. And why do I say it was dead on? Because he was talking about salvation. He was talking about how to get saved and what it meant to get saved. And then after he's all said and done, he had no idea who's on the other side of the broadcast, and so he begins to give them a prayer to go by to pray for salvation. And I thought that was very neat at that time. I thought it was great for him to do these things because it is very great for someone to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is a miracle when that takes place. And so that excited me. And I believe that as that was being done, he was very genuine about that. But what took place before all that was his comments about the prophets and how he was thankful for them. He specifically told his listeners about the things that were going to take place given to him by the prophets. In other words, he's not getting his message from the Word of God. He's getting his message from the prophets talking to him. Also, I have another friend that would tell me the prophets. Again, two separate people who have no idea who they are, both live in different states. And then he would come up to me and say, "Hey, Chad, don't worry about the election. Don't worry what's going to happen on January 6th, because the prophets are saying this." And that began to baffle me. Wait, I know two different people now who are clinging to the very words of the prophets, when in fact they should be clinging to the very words of God. So, me being who I am, with curiosity, I begin to watch the video that was sent to me. I wanted to see what they were getting from these things, and so I took the liberty to watch this. So the first few moments sounded really good. It really did. They used some scripture. They began to speak about some things, and I said, okay, this sounds good so far. I'm with them on this. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I hear a name being dropped. And immediately, with the mention of that name, you know what I did to that broadcast? No longer did I listen to the rest of the hour and a half long seminar that they're taking place Within 5 minutes, I heard that name, and that name caused me to turn it off. Why? Because I know that individual's name, he is a false teacher to this day. Well, who's that name? I'm not afraid to give that name. His name's Kenneth Copeland. Which, by the way, has his own private jet and his own airfield. You figure it out. So as soon as I heard that name, I turned it off. I had nothing to do with it. Why did you do that? Because the Lord gave me spiritual discernment to not get entangled with the false teachings of his words. See, it's easy to do when you let your guard down. Thank God for his intervention there. They know how to draw a crowd. They use scripture. But they don't use it the way God intended it to be used. They put their ideologies on it and stray away from the correct teaching of God's word. You must use caution. You must use spiritual discernment if you were to ever come upon these things. I mentioned earlier, I'm going to mention it again, because I think it's very noteworthy for me to mention this again. But when pastor allows someone to come and preach here, you folks don't know this, but he gives them an interview. When he was in a hospital, he had no idea, but a few phone calls were directed towards me. I had no clue who they were. Mama Springer had no clue who they were, but she directed the calls to me. Some were taken here to school, and that was given to me later on, and I would call these individuals back. And if I happened to be around when they called me, I would answer the phone. And what I would do, learning from him, was to interview them. Find out their background. Find out where they are coming from. Why is that so important? Because the last thing that pastor would want for someone to come into the church and not teach the gospel properly. That is very important. Which is, by the way, let me say this. Sometimes we get so excited when somebody new walks through the door. And then within a week or two, maybe 3-4 weeks, they join the church. And you know what happens so often when that takes place? Automatically we start thinking, oh, they're going to be the next Sunday school teacher. Why? You know nothing about them. For all you know, they could be a sheep in wolf's clothing. And the next thing we want to do is put them in charge of a group of young people to lead them astray. Now, I believe that's when spiritual discernment kicks in and we get to know them, find out who they are, what they stand for what they believe in. Why? Because we have a lot at stake. The last thing I'd want someone to do is come into my household and to rip my daughter out of my hands within just seconds. That can take place, which is why pastor guards his pulpit. And that's important for us to understand those things. So with this being said, I'm going to quote something that I heard from my very friend from his message. And this baffled me, and it really concerned me. He's talking about bringing people in, about filling the church with people. He said these very words, I quote, church is not about doctrine. Folks, without doctrine, you have nothing. He goes on and says, it's about discipleship. Let's back up. If it's not about doctrine, then why do we need salvation? And then if we don't have salvation, then how are we going to disciple people? See, doctrine is very important. When I heard those very words, you know what came to my mind? False teaching. False teaching. And I so bad, still to this very day, and I think I'm going to do it, is to correct him on some things. Because he needs to be corrected. Doctrine is very important. False teachers don't care about doctrine, folks. They could care less, which is why many are led astray. Many are led astray. So, what about tomorrow? Well, what I do know about tomorrow, it seems pretty dim. Matter of fact, we're expected to get 8 to 12 inches of snow. That's what I know about tomorrow. I mean, we'll find out when it all comes to pass. But tomorrow seems dim, does it not? But I'm going to share something with you that I do know for a fact. Even though I don't know about tomorrow, I know who holds my hand. That's important to me. I know who holds my hand. Well, who holds my hand? It's God Almighty. Let me ask you a question. Who's holding your hand? Is it the world or is it God? What I do know with God holding my hand, I know this. He will always guide me, and He will always, always, without a doubt, lead me into truth. True men of God will teach you to follow God. False teachers, false prophets will teach you to follow them. This is what separates them from a real man of God. That's their separation. And whatever happens tomorrow is going to happen because it was designed by God. Not because man prophesied about it, because God designed it that way. Beware of false prophets and teachers. Cling to a holy and righteous God. Any one of us in here tonight can be easily duped into watching a broadcast and falling into it. Oh man, this sounds really good. It sounds good for a little bit. What I heard the other day sounded really good for a little bit until I heard one name and I knew automatically, click, turn it off. Let me encourage you to do this. Don't even turn it on. Because what's important is what's in this word. And what's in this word is God's word. That's the important thing. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. God, I'm so thankful that you have not only given us a pastor, but you have given us many evangelists and many preachers who have come through these doors, never wanting to lead us astray, but always wanting to give us the truth for the better of our life. God, I thank you for these men. I ask that you continue to bless them. God, I thank you for your word, for how truthful it's always been. There's not one single error in your word. God, we are so grateful for these things. God, I pray, as the world tries to entice us with the false teachings of this word, God, I pray that we rebuke those very things. Give us the boldness and the courage to stand up. God, I thank you for your love tonight. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace that you have upon us. Continue to bless us as we go about our week. God, as the snow comes in, I pray that you give us safety as many of us go to work, as we travel around, that you just watch over us. We thank you for all that's been said and done today, and we ask it in your name. Amen.